Kara's shoulders, me. I didn't even know where my shirt was. Brody! Matthew was almost to us. Finn held his hand out. Let me talk to him. Fuck that. He was saying my name. I clenched my jaw. If he wanted to fight, so be it. Brody! I strode ahead, ignoring Finn. Matthew looked as white as a sheet, but he couldn't catch his breath. He got to me, but couldn't talk. He held a hand up, bending over and resting his hands on his knees. I started to get it then. He wasn't here to fight, and then the panic started. It was Morgan. There was no other reason he'd seek me out. And if he was coming to me for help, I stopped thinking then. Something was wrong, really, really wrong. What happened? I barked out. Shanna yelled, coming over. You interrupted a shot that's been taking forever to get. There better be a good reason for this. Morgan, he gasped. Who? Shanna asked. Ice went down my spine. What happened to her? I barked at him. He didn't answer right away. He still couldn't. Matthew! I started for him, but Finn jumped in front of me, his hands in the air, his palms toward me. He can't breathe, Brody. Let him have a second. Something's, wheeze, wrong, another wheeze. With more, he bent over, still gasping for air. I'd had enough. Storming past Finn, I grabbed Matthew's shoulders and pulled him upright. What happened to her? I looked in his eyes, and his own panic had that ice lining my stomach. I stepped forward so we were almost chest to chest. Talk! What happened to Morgan? Everyone had fallen silent around us, but no one and nothing else mattered but the answer to that question. Matthew closed his eyes, took a deep breath, and let it out slowly as he stepped backward. Finally, he managed. Something's wrong with her. She couldn't breathe. The world went away. I was only on him. Where is she? Shiloh. Oh, good God, no. I let him go, not caring that he collapsed to the ground. If she was on Shiloh, that meant she was in the mountains. She was out there, and no one could get to her. I had to. There were two horses here for the scene. Brody. Finn tossed me a sweatshirt. I caught it, taking off in the opposite direction. They were being taken care of by a handler who started when she saw me racing toward her. The horses stepped to the side. What? Her eyes trailed behind me. I heard Finn, who was right on my heels, say, What are you going to do? Ignoring him, I focused on the trainer. Which one is the fastest? What? Her mouth was gaping open. Her eyes were skirting from Finn to me. Brody! I ignored him. Which one? She flung one of the leads to me. Her. She's the faster one. It was a brown mare, and she was watching me, but she wasn't scared. I ran a hand down her neck, soothing to her at the same time. Hey, hey. Listen, horse. I don't know you that well. You don't know me, but I need your help. Brody! Gail was joining the fun. I didn't look for her, but I knew if I had, I would have seen the look of complete disapproval on her face. Brody! Finn tried again. What are you going to do? You'll get lost up there. Morgan was in trouble. Nothing else mattered. Brody. He grabbed the horse's bridle as I climbed up on the saddle. Let go. One warning. I'd run him down if I had to. I mean it, Finn. His eyes flared from urgency to me. You cannot ride. I've been riding the last week. Not enough. Not for those mountains. Not for where she went. He had a point, but I didn't care. It's Morgan. I'm going. Give us time. We can organize a search party. We've done this before. I told Jen to call Abby. She is probably already making phone calls to get people out here. I shook my head. That could take hours. She might not have hours. She might not even have 1 hour. I have to go, Finn. He still wouldn't let go of the bridle. I'm thinking about you, too. It isn't just Morgan. She's done this before. She's probably fine, but you won't be. You'll get lost. You'll get stuck out there for hours. He nodded to the horse. This mare isn't equipped to be out there. It was the fastest way to Morgan. That was all I knew. I pulled on the reins, jerking the horse's head away from Finn and ripping the bridle free from his grip. Kicking my feet into her side, her rear end came around, knocking Finn to the side. I twisted around and said, I don't care. Then I leaned forward and kicked my feet into her side again. I wanted her to run. As she did, tearing up dirt, Finn yelled behind us, "You're not going to help her like this." Maybe, maybe not. All I knew was that I had to get to her.
Chapter 32. Morgan. Shiloh took me to a cliff before dropping her head to graze. There was a small smattering of grass there, but I know she took me there for a reason. It was the highest point we could comfortably get to. I was far away from everything. From the herd, from the humans, from my old life that was trying to pull me back. I slid off her back and slumped to the ground. This was what I needed. Crisp mountain air. My lungs felt as if they were burning, but there was nothing like the feeling of being above it all. I felt close to the sky and I lay on my back, gasping, drawing in air. I looked up, and it was as if I could reach up and touch a cloud. I hadn't had an attack like this since after my mother died. The counselor pushed too hard, asking me to recall details I didn't want in my head. Maybe it was because of the attack, or maybe it was because Shiloh brought me to this particular cliff. But I felt her again. It was as if she were smiling down at me, and maybe because of that, I curled in on myself and slept. When I woke, it was to the sound of someone calling my name. Morgan! Morgan! I sat up, squinting a moment. Brody wasn't near me. I wasn't in his bed. It took a second before it all rushed back to me. I felt the winds pick up, shifting from the valley below and blowing harshly against my cheeks. Shiloh lifted her head, her nostrils picking up Brody's scent. That wasn't my mom calling. I scrambled to my feet. Brody?
Morgan! Where are you, Morgan?
I went to the edge and saw him by the river below us, all the way in the middle of the valley.
Brody!
I yelled, feeling Shiloh coming up behind me. I was close to the edge, too close. I felt her unease and reached back, touching her face. If she jerked it away, the movement could have had enough momentum to push me over. She was completely still.
Brody!
His head was whipping back and forth.
Morgan!
He lifted himself in his saddle, almost standing as he called out.
Where are you?
Look up! He did, and then he dropped abruptly back to his saddle seat. He gulped.
What the fuck are you doing up there?
Good question. I tried for a small smile, but figured he couldn't see it. I called back down.
I'm coming to you! Don't leave that spot!
I heard his wry laugh as I took a step back from the edge.
Yeah, that isn't a problem.
Shiloh eased back with me, and once we were far enough away, I swung up to her back again. She turned for the trail that'd take us down to where he was, but it was close to the edge of the mountain. I hated these trails, but I trusted Shiloh. She wouldn't go somewhere she couldn't get us out of. Brody, on the other hand, wasn't prepared for the sight when he lifted his head to see us picking our way down the side of the mountain to him.
Holy shit, he said. His eyes were wide. I'm not religious, but I'm going to start praying. I'm praying to God. Your horse is nuts.
I was thinking the same. The trail was as wide as her body. There was no leeway there. Once we sat down on level ground with the river, Brody was off his horse and running to me. Shiloh reared back, jumpy from his fast arrival, but I hurried off her and went to meet him. He grabbed me as I splashed my way to his side of the bank and had me up in the air in a second. He folded himself around me completely, burying his head into my shoulder.
I was worried about you.
I ran a hand over the back of his head, burying my own into the crook of his head and shoulder. I'm fine. I'm safe. He pulled back. Concern dilating his eyes.
Matthew crashed one of the movie scenes. He was that worried about you. Said you took off and you couldn't breathe. Are you okay?
He was feeling all over me. My forehead, my mouth, my chest. He was looking at my back, making sure I was still in one piece.
I don't get it.
His eyebrows dipped together.
You look fine.
His gaze lingered on the bags under my eyes.
Tired, though.
I caught his hand, squeezing it, It felt good to be touching him, even if it had only been a few hours since I'd seen him. I'm fine. I had a panic attack when I was talking to Matthew.
Panic attack?
His eyes darkened with anger, his head straightened back.
I didn't give myself time to think about why you were talking to Kellerman. What the fuck did he want?
To talk about the hard drive.
Oh.
I grinned ruefully. Yeah. Oh. Shiloh was slowly making her way through the river to us. It was a small enough creek that the currents weren't dangerous. She was moving at a lazy pace, drinking as she did. I glanced at her as she came onto the bank, smelled my shoulder as if to reassure herself I was fine, and then moved around us. I watched as she and the other mare began grazing together. You rode a horse here. Brody groaned.
Yeah.
He raked a hand through his hair, letting the end stick up into a deliciously rebel look.
Don't know what the fuck I was thinking about. I grabbed the first thing that'd get me to you.
His eyes narrowed, studying his horse.
I think I bonded with that thing.
He said it as if it left a bad taste in his mouth. I hit his shoulder. That thing is a mare. Her name is Taffy.
Taffy? What the fuck kind of name is that?
A good name. I nodded to the mare. It's her name.
Hey.
A playful grin tugged at his lips. His arms went back around me.
I should warn you. Cat's out of the bag. Between Matthew, Finn, and me, everyone's aware there's someone named Morgan that we all care about.
He grimaced. I ran a soothing hand over his cheek before letting my thumb linger on his lips. Why are you worried about that? A somber look settled over him.
Because things are going to change for you. People know about you now.
I didn't say much after that except, we should go back. Brody rode Taffy and I rode Shiloh next to him. I was impressed by how he did with her, only cursing a few times when she balked at his orders. But it was his mistake. He wasn't reading her correctly. When we got closer and the building started to take shape through the trees, I thought back to his words. Were things really going to change for me? If they were, wouldn't I have felt a sense of gravity weighing me down? I thought for a minute, searching for the knot I would expect to be twisting in my stomach. But there was nothing. I had a hard time imagining the world actually finding me. They might at the estate, that was different. No one could take that away from me, and no one could keep me from coming back to the mountains. We stopped at the end of the second fence. There was still an entire field between us and them. Two ambulances and dozens of cars. Both police cruisers and regular vehicles lined the driveway. Some tents had been put up on the front lawn, and there seemed to be people everywhere. A chill went down my spine. It was deja vu. They were organizing a search party for us. I fought back a wave of unwanted memories. I hadn't wanted them here then, and it was the same today. She left that day. No. My hands balled into fists. I pressed them down into my leg. She was taken from me that day. And I had felt her earlier. Shivers went up my spine. A shout rang out. Someone spotted us. As one, all of their heads lifted and they looked at us. Brody glanced to me in concern. This had happened before in my life. They would be upset with me, having to go through this work to pull their resources, and I was healthy and fine, again. There'd been tears before, and lectures, so many lectures. Angry words, biting words. It was the last thing I could take back then. Seeing Matthew and Finn racing toward us, I braced myself for the same treatment. A black car was pulling to a stop just behind the tents at the same time they opened the gate by the barn and sprinted down the field to us, stopping a few yards away. Matthew got to us first. His panic was clear in his eyes, which were still wild.
You're okay?
I didn't respond. I couldn't tear my gaze away from that car. Shiloh jerked backward. I reined her in, warning Finn and Matthew in a low voice. Stay over there. I still moved her back just in case. Brody shifted, trying to put himself between Matthew and me.
She's fine.
Finn gave us a shaky smile.
Well.
He glanced over his shoulder to the whole scene spread out. Among the cops, ambulance, and tents were the crew and actors for the movie. They were dressed as volunteers, wearing a bright red vest so if they got lost in the woods, they could be seen easier. I was almost wistful of them at that moment. They didn't want to get lost. That implied they wanted to be found. Getting lost and hiding have two different connotations, but the act is the same. If they disappeared into the woods, like I wanted to do right now. I knew who was in that black car. That was a gravity weighing me down, and no one else seemed to be aware of him coming. Finn added, laughing a bit.
My guess is that you're unofficially part of the movie now. Welcome back, baby sister.
Yeah. Right. I swallowed back the knot in my throat. I could handle whatever came with that, but not that car. I gripped Shiloh's mane tighter and leaned forward. A driver got out, went to the back door, opened it, and my stepfather stepped out. Peter Kellerman had arrived.
Chapter 33. Brody. The blood drained from Morgan's face, and in the same instant, her body curled in. She seemed poised to flee. Matthew, Finn, and I all turned to look at what had her spooked. It took a second for me to spot him. The man was wearing a business suit. His hair was thick and silver, not quite white, but not really gray. That was the only indication of his age. He kept himself trim. Yeah, I recognized him. Peter Kellerman was bigger than his two sons. I skimmed a look over at Morgan. Did you know he was coming? She started at my question, as if she had forgotten we were there.
No.
Matthew was looking between the two, frowning. Yeah, that's my fault. I had to call him, Morgan. I'm sorry. Morgan's head lowered, as if she wanted to curl into a ball. Finn rolled his eyes, focused on his brother. Matthew ignored Finn, saying, You couldn't breathe when you left. You were in the mountains. I didn't know if Asher would bring back a body, or if we'd have to go in and find two of you. I told him to relax a little. Finn was speaking to Morgan. I thought maybe you'd be fine. A look passed between the two. I was watching the guy who was being introduced to Shanna. I looked for Abby and Jen, but didn't see either before I turned to the two brothers. Is he going to be a problem for Morgan? Peter Kellerman was my father without the boozing, whoring, and beatings being handed out. By all accounts, he was ruthless, sharp, and didn't give one shit about Morgan. He would hurt her. That was what I knew, and I would stand in his way every time if I had to. I knew all of that within 2 seconds of seeing him. When neither answered, I narrowed my eyes at Matthew. Maybe I should be asking if you're going to be a problem for Morgan. We still hadn't had our talk, and I really wanted to have that talk. What I did to Finn would be tame compared to what I still wanted to do to the elder brother. Finn grunted. He knew exactly where I was going with this. He stood to the side, stepping away from his brother. Matthew noticed his frown deepening, and then he swung his gaze to me. What? I gestured to where Kellerman Sr. was. Who are you loyal to, him or her? What? I leaned forward on my horse, making sure he could hear me clearly, though I wasn't sure how much more frank I could put the question. If a pissing match happens, if he's here to hurt her and not help her, whose side are you on? Let's get it fucking clear right now before we walk into something we can't control. You on your pop's side or her side? Matthew swung his horrified gaze to Morgan. Morgan. Two figures broke from behind the fence, hurrying down the hill toward us, before a third joined them, and a second later, a fourth behind them. Shiloh started moving back at the sight, her nostrils flaring. Shh! Morgan bent forward, crooning to her. She ran a hand down her side, but they retreated a few more feet. Finn swore under his breath and then sighed. It's Abby and Jen. I recognized the two behind them. My hands tightened around the reins. And Shanna and my manager. Morgan looked at me. I registered the look from the corner of my eye, and I wanted to turn to her. I wanted to reassure her everything would be okay, but I couldn't lie. I told her things would change for her, and that had been the truth. Shanna would want to know everything about Morgan. Gail would want to know everything about our relationship, and I'd have a hard time suppressing the desire to tell them both to fuck off. As much as I wanted to tell them to mind their own business, my business was Gail's business. Shanna, however, was my boss. If she wanted to grill anyone about Morgan, she could go to Matthew or Kellerman Sr., since he decided to show up.
Morgan.
Abby was blinking back tears.
You're okay.
She stopped, her hand reaching out like she wanted to go to her sister. Finn drew her to his side, his arm around her waist, and he pulled Jen against his other side. Brody, Shanna drew up to the group, wrapping the ends of her sweater together in front of her. She looked from me to Morgan, paused for a minute, and then turned back to me. Gail came to her side, but Shanna cleared her throat.
You're okay?
I am. Her eyes kept going to Morgan. Her eyebrows pulled together, but she murmured to me,
I see. We were all worried.
Gail's eyes were wide and accusing. I ignored her. I needed to make sure Morgan was okay.
Yes.
All eyes turned to Morgan. Shanna wasn't even trying to disguise her interest.
I see. And you were okay?
Morgan nodded.
Yes. I am fine.
Finn laughed. I'd bet 100 it was you who found Brody, not the other way around. Morgan just looked at me. I grunted. I was lucky to stay on the damn horse, and yes, she found me.
Well,
Morgan folded her hands together over Shiloh's mane.
You technically did find me. You just didn't know it.
I cringed at the memory of looking up and seeing her on the edge of that cliff. It didn't matter that I knew different. She looked supernatural in that moment. It had been eerie. She was defying gravity by being up there, and even more so as her horse picked their way down the side of the cliff. I didn't reply.
So, I'm assuming we can send the search party back? We won't be needing it?
Matthew jerked around to Gail. Yes. He motioned back to them. I'll deal with all of that. His gaze went from mine to Morgan's and held there a second. I'll talk to my father as well. Morgan didn't reply or move, and once he was halfway back up the hill, Finn asked her, Are you really okay? She nodded.
I'm fine, yes.
She motioned to the party.
I'm sorry about all of that.
He shrugged. There's a difference between you running and hiding and you being hurt. The side of his mouth curved up in a wicked grin. Besides, it was really for the Hollywood Golden Boy. I barked out a laugh, gentling it as Shiloh's head reared up. Right. Say what you want, Kellerman Jr. to the Jr., but that's twice now I've ventured out there and come back alive. Can you say the same? I was teasing, and when Finn threw his head back and started laughing, everyone else realized it too. Shanna and Gail exchanged mystified looks, while Jen and Abby just seemed relieved. Abby held up a hand toward Morgan.
Can I... This is Shiloh, right?
A whole fence was between us and them, and they still remained back by 15 feet. At Abby's slight approach, the Mustang's head reared up. Her ears perked forward.
Is that...
Shanna's lips dropped open, as if she were only just noticing the horse Morgan was astride.
Is that one of the wild herd?
Morgan was still running a hand down Shiloh's neck. It wasn't working. The Mustang started to back up the louder we talked and the closer Abby got. She said to Abby,
Brody's presence has been forced on her, but she isn't tame. She'll run if you keep approaching. I won't be able to stop her.
Abby stopped approaching.
She's beautiful, Morgan.
Morgan looked to Shiloh, who swung her head back to her. They looked at each other a moment, and Morgan grinned.
Yes, she is.
She bent forward and patted her neck, laying her cheek against her before sitting back up again.
Beautiful, but wild.
I was staring right at Morgan as she said those words. When she lifted her gaze to mine, she saw my own message to her, and her eyelashes fluttered closed a little before her gaze cleared. She lifted her head higher, staring back at me steadily. She was beautiful. She was wild.
She was the untamed one. Unbroke. I didn't realize how perfectly the movie's title fit until that moment. An emotion shifted deep in me, deeper than I'd ever felt. It was something I'd only felt toward family before. I shoved it aside. This wasn't the time to proclaim feelings and shit like that. I said to Shanna, "Is Peter Kellerman being here going to be a problem?" She hesitated before replying. "For the movie? No. We have contracts in place in case he tries to change anything. For others?" Her eyes trailed to Morgan. "Maybe." Whether it was at Morgan's order or Shiloh's, the Mustang turned in a tight circle, walking backward. Her head wouldn't stop. It was going up and down, and her back hooves started to stomp the ground. Morgan said to me, "I got a runner. Too many people around." I nodded, but she didn't wait. She made one soft clicking sound, and Shiloh tore out of there. No one spoke. We all watched. How could we not? Shiloh's mane was flying behind her, making her look like she was soaring. Morgan was bent forward, her head buried in the hair, and her arms wrapped around Shiloh's neck. She rode her with no reins, no saddle or stirrups, nothing to anchor her to the horse except her body and the connection they both shared. That feeling began to expand inside me again. It had been there, rooted deep, just waiting for the right person. Waiting for Morgan. The emotion began to fill me. I still didn't name it, but I knew I couldn't stop it either. Chapter 34. Brody. Shanna and Gail followed me to my cabin. Abby and Jen went to the main lodge, but Finn came with us too. Once Shanna and Gail were inside, he stopped me, asking, "You need backup?" I shook my head before nodding toward the lodge's patio, where Matthew and Peter were sitting. They had a perfect view of my place. "I'm worried about them." "Them?" he turned to see. "Oh." When his attention came back to me, his eyes were troubled, and his own frown gave him away. "My brother was creepy with the videos, but I honestly feel if he has to choose between who to protect, Morgan or our father, he'll choose Morgan. We'll all choose Morgan." "Why?" "What?" "Why choose a stepsister you never see over the man who's giving you a livelihood?" Peter held the keys to all of their empires. He was powerful. Finn shrugged. "Our birth mother died after having Abby and me, so when we got Karen, she became our mother. We also got a father during that time. Sure, before then he paid our bills and provided for us, but he wasn't around until he fell in love with Karen. She anchored him in a way, and we actually had a loving family for 4 years. Morgan was a part of that. We grieved when Karen died, but it was more than that. We didn't only lose her and Morgan, we lost him. He shipped us all off to our private schools, hired nannies, and pretty much moved to New York. Now, the only one who sees him regularly is Matthew, and it's always in business meetings. I'd love to have a father. I would, but that'll never happen. We thought for a moment, after Matt brought us the script, maybe we could get him back. He seemed excited about the whole process, but once we got here, yeah." His voice faded, then a decrepit laugh left him. "You can see how that worked out. There's no trying to get him back, but Morgan, she's different." He turned to look at the mountains behind us. "She stays out there so she doesn't get hurt anymore. And it's terrifying her that she can't pull completely away again." He studied me a moment. "You love her." He named what I was unwilling to. "Yes, I do." He held his hand up. "Then know that I'm always in your corner. I'm proud to have met you." I shook his hand, and it felt as if something more were being solidified in that moment. I knew there would be problems moving forward. I felt it first with Matthew, and it had only gotten exponentially stronger with the appearance of Peter Kellerman. I didn't know what it would be or how it would come about, but I knew it would affect Morgan, and I wouldn't allow that. "Thank you." "You too." I meant those words. I would need his help. The premonition was weighing heavily on me. After a second, I added, "If you hurt Jen, I'll beat you up." I smirked. "Again." He laughed, releasing my hand. "Same if you hurt my sister." He clapped me on the arm. If I hurt your sister, I'll let you beat me up.
Let? He began walking back to the main house. Let, huh?
Yes, let. He waved, turning around. We'll see, Golden Boy, we'll see.
Golden Boy?
The door had opened behind me. Gale stood there. I thought it was Bad Boy Brody this whole time.
Nah, I raked a hand over my face. I was suddenly so tired. My whole body was beginning to ache.
I think the bad boy is gone. Then I thought of Peter and Matthew Kellerman. Well, maybe not. I followed her inside. Shanna was making herself a drink in the kitchen.
Hey.
There was a whole bottle of rum on the counter.
Where'd that come from?
My purse. She poured some in a second glass and passed it to Gale. The two clinked their drinks together before Shanna turned to me.
This is a time that I need to drink.
She downed half the liquid in one gulp. Gale winced after her sip and set it down.
That's a bit strong for my taste.
Shanna asked, you want one?
Thought I had a drinking problem.
She snorted, rolling her eyes and picking her glass up again.
You aren't an alcoholic. We all know that, and you're better now.
She motioned outside my patio door.
Your time of rest was really a time of sex, right?
God damn. I would have loved to have tricked my boss into giving me vacation if that were the case. I sat at the kitchen table, watching Shanna finish her drink and pour a second one. Gale took her glass, joining me at the table.
I didn't plan that. You decided to give me the time off.
You were supposed to be resting and healing. Shanna grabbed the bottle and took a seat too.
I was grieving my brother's death.
She eyed me skeptically.
How are you handling that? You seem like you found your purpose in life.
Shit, maybe I had. I didn't want to think about that, so I waved it off. I'm distracting myself.
With Wild Horse Woman out there?
Maybe.
Gale snorted. Come on. How long has this been going on?
She leaned forward, her arms going flat on the table.
You need to tell me everything.
So I did. When we first arrived. The night I saw her running from the house, when the herd first made their appearance.
Gale asked,
How did you two start talking?
I hesitated.
Brody!
I relented.
I went on a walk and she was at the river. That was our first conversation.
And how did you go from having a conversation to sticking your prick inside her?
Her eyes flashed. She wasn't messing around. I told her about the cabin visit. She frowned, deep in thought.
That was why Abby Kellerman was here.
She said she heard Morgan talking to me. She wanted to know about her sister.
Shanna sighed heavily. None of this is in the script. None of it!
Gale handed over her drink.
Take mine.
Gladly. Shanna picked it up and took a long drag from it. Gale focused on me again.
You still haven't told me when you started sleeping with her.
The first night of my week off.
That was it. She wasn't going to get the details from me, and when my mouth remained clamped shut, Gale realized it.
She nodded, leaning back in her seat.
You love her?
That was also none of her business.
I care for her.
She scoffed, her eyes flicking to the ceiling. She could read between the lines.
So what does this mean? We don't know about her. What do we need to know?
What do you mean?
You were ready for trouble out there. I know you, Brody. I saw how you reacted to Kellerman Sr. showing up.
You expecting trouble?
Yes, but I don't know what it will be.
Shanna threw her hands in the air.
Why isn't any of this in the script? It should be in the goddamn script. This girl should be in there. It's a happily ever after ending right now. Karen Kellerman was murdered, but they wanted the end shot to be Peter and Karen riding off into the distance. Credits. Fucking credits. That's how I'm supposed to tell the real ending. But this girl, she has a daughter. A daughter who is like this mythical freak creature and gorgeous, and she lives with fucking Mustangs.
She was yelling.
It's a much better fucking movie than what I have now.
Can you put her in? Gale asked, making my attention whip to her.
No,
I jerked forward on my seat. The contract is for the script how it was written. You can't change it.
No,
That isn't true. I do have creative license, but I would have to do more research and look into how her presence would alter the plotline. If it alters it too much, you're right. There might be areas that they would fight me on. Gale leaned forward again. The movie will still happen. Finding out about this girl won't change that unless Shanna decides to start that fight. Shanna rounded on her, her chest puffing up. I don't. They didn't put her in for a reason, Shanna. Gale clipped her head from side to side. They're going to fight you on it, and you know it. They'll take you to court, and they have the money to do it. Aren't they also the producers? Shanna groaned at my question as her hands flew into the air. She's a gold mine. She is drop-dead gorgeous. Her whole story is captivating. She's sleeping with Hollywood's bad boy, and she's a Kellerman. A Kellerman. A movie needs to be made just about her. But not this movie. This one is about her mother. Oh my God, her mother. Shanna's head fell back at Gale's reminder. Was she there when her mom was murdered? Both women waited, watching me. I scowled. None of your business. Brody, no. My voice rose over Gale's. I stared hard at Shanna. She is not a part of the movie, and it is not my job to divulge anything. My job is to act in this movie. I will do that, but I won't do that. Problem number one just uncovered itself. I was staring into the faces of two women I respected and wanted to keep working with, but they both had agendas. I shot Gale a look. You'll have my back on this. There is no leeway on this subject matter. Her eye twitched once, then twice, before she glanced sideways to Shanna. My director's pupils were dilated. There was a sloppy, mad quality to her, but her eyes were still locked on me, hard. Her mouth was set in a fierce line. Brody, I mean it. I skewered both of them. When it comes to her, there's no negotiation on my part, none. I can replace you. And threat number one was just thrown out. I waited a beat, choosing my words, but not fast enough. Gale shoved back her chair and folded her arms over her chest. His job is to be an actor, not an informant. Your argument is not with him for that one. With who, then? Shanna's head swung a little more than it needed to. She almost fell off the chair. With the girl? She took off on a freaking wild horse. Let me go round up one of my own to find her. Are you kidding me? Gale's chest rose and fell a few times. When she spoke again, she was a little calmer. I suggest you ask the appropriate people, like her stepfather or any one of her step-siblings, not my client. Shanna's gaze switched, settling directly on me before she slowly pushed back and stood. She took a breath, smoothing her hands down her shirt and pants, and then patting her hair into place. I see. If you'll excuse me both, I have a few Kellermans to pin down. The room was thick with tension, and neither Gale nor I spoke a word as Shanna walked across the room, opened the door, and went outside. Once the door clicked shut, Gale slumped back into her chair. For fuck's sake, Brody. Her eyes sparkled in anger. God damn warn me when you have a secret like this, would you? I swallowed. It wasn't supposed to come out. Secrets like this always come out. That's golden rule number one. She leaned forward and jammed her finger against the table as she continued. They always come out. You plan for when they do. Got it? I nodded. Got it. Now, she waved in the direction Shanna just disappeared. That problem is resolved for now, but she'll come back. Trust me. Shanna isn't called a pit bull when it comes to her movies. She's a great white fucking shark. She'll be back. She motioned out toward the mountainside next. I have to know about your girlfriend. I don't care if you're in love with her. I have to know how to protect you as well as how to protect her. No. Brody. No. I didn't yell, but I made sure she knew I meant it when I said, I will not violate her trust. Brody! Gale yelled again. Brody? We both swung around at the second name spoken. It was soft but clear, and like the ghost she constantly embodied, Morgan appeared just inside the patio doors. She had climbed up over the patio and came inside. Gale and I hadn't heard her at all. Her hands were flat against her legs as she stepped farther inside, eyes fixed on Gale. I'll tell you what you need to know if it means you'll protect him. Gale blinked a few times and she looked taken aback, and she nodded, her eyebrows pulling together. She cleared her throat. I'd like that, thank you. We were all off balance. The tension was still in the air, and for a moment, Gale and I didn't move. The only one who seemed calm was Morgan. She took Shanna's vacated seat and gestured to Gale's. If you'd like to sit for all of this?
Chapter 35 Brody. It was 3 hours later when Morgan left to find her sister. Gale had stayed behind longer to collect herself, and she was still shaking her head when I pulled the cabin door shut behind us. That girl. She wrapped her arms around herself. The air had gotten noticeably colder, but I didn't mind it. That girl is special, Brody. I know. No. She turned around and placed her hand on my arm. You aren't fully understanding me. Yes, she's special in the way that she's remarkable, and I can see why Shanna is going to do everything she can to get that girl into the movie, but she's special in a way that not even you can compete with. I can see the bond between you two. I can tell you think you love her. Think. I wish I hadn't. It was deeper than she could possibly realize. Picking her words carefully, she went on. She is wild in her heart. You cannot tame her. You will never be able to take her with you on your next acting gig. You travel constantly. You go everywhere, all over the world. You're from two completely opposite worlds. You'll never fully fit in with hers, and she'll never fully fit in with yours. I watched her in there as she told me about her mother, about everything. She looked out that window no fewer than 20 times in 3 hours. 20 times, Brody. Did you watch her body language? She kept rubbing her arms. She kept moving in her seat. She kept tapping her leg. She was restless because she wanted to go back out there. I saw how she took off before. Her mare was responding to her. She wanted to run, not the mare. The mare would have stayed beside her through a fire. It was her, not the Mustang. Anger burned my throat. Why are you telling me this? To keep me from falling for her? Too fucking late. I fell. I'm in. I'm all in. A sadness fell over her face and she patted my arm. Then I am here for you, not just as a manager, but as a friend. Her hand fell from my arm. The sadness deepened. A tear formed in her eye. She reached up to wipe it away, but I caught her hand. She looked at me in surprise. I have to try. I'm so far gone that I'll regret it more if I walk. Can you understand? She nodded. The tears slipped down her cheek. I do. This was the mother side of her, the part that started to extend towards me. I'd gotten glimpses of it before, but a tear, that was new. I couldn't remember my own mother crying for me. It calmed me, slightly. She pulled her hand free, going back to hugging herself as she looked toward the main house. You say the whole estate is in her name? Yes. You're worried about the father, aren't you? I looked too. The main house stood high up on the cliff's hill, nestled into the side. It took on an imposing air, as if it were daring someone to challenge it. Authority clung to it tighter than it had before, and I knew it was Peter Kellerman's effect. He had everyone on edge, whether they realized it or not. Yeah, to answer her question. I was worried. I was more than worried, but I didn't know what problems his presence would bring. I just knew they would. A soft sigh left me. It had been a long night of shooting, an even longer few hours until I found Morgan, and all I wanted to do was hold her. Is everyone still here? I moved around Gale, going toward the house. There were more cars in the driveway than there should have been. She fell into step beside me. I suppose they're all just waiting to be told what to do. No. They would have gone to the hotel or to a bar to do that. No one slept last night. They would have been tired. My pace quickened.
If they were inside, there was a reason. They were gathered in the main living room. Shanna was at the front, standing on the fireplace's hearth and holding up the movie script. Everyone else was gathered inside, so tight all the chairs were filled. People were sitting on the floor. Others were lined against the walls, a few spilling out to the entryway and even in the kitchen behind. It is the right thing to do, so I apologize for the mess up in your schedules. I looked for the Kellermans, Jen, or Morgan, but none of them were there. They weren't on the back patio, which left Matthew's office, maybe. I realize you might have projects lined up after this, so we'll be in touch to work out the new schedule. But guys, I really think this will make the movie better. It's the truth, too. Shanna's words got my attention, and I went back. Her eyes were shining. Her neck was straining, and she was waving that movie script around. This story is no longer about Karen Kellerman. It's no longer the story the Kellermans have told us. It's about Morgan. What are you doing? I was pushing forward into the room before Gale could stop me. That anger was back. He was pushing from the dark regions inside me, knowing he might have to be let loose soon. Shanna's hand went down to her side and she squared off to me. I'm changing the script, Brody. I looked at Gale in the doorway. She didn't give me any nod to keep going or to shut up. She was as surprised as I was. You don't have the right. I do, actually. Shanna pulled out the packet of papers that had been rolled up in her back pocket. It was her contract. This gives me the creative license. I can change the script if I decide to do so. I'm sorry. I am. I know you want to protect your girlfriend, but this is going to happen. They'll fight you. No? She shook her head. I talked to my lawyers before I had a meeting with Peter and Matthew Kellerman. They all agreed. I can do the changes, and I'm going to. I'll need time to have the script rewritten. She gestured around the room. That's what I was telling everyone. Everything is on hold for now. The rewrites and a new ending will completely change the entire scope of the movie for the better, though. This will all be for the better. For whom? I could see Morgan's face in my mind. She would be so terrified. She'd go back to Shiloh. She is wild in her heart. You're from two completely opposite worlds. Gale met my gaze, both of us remembering her words. Her face twisted in regret, a pitying expression pulled at her mouth. She tilted her head to the side, as if to tell me she was sorry. I didn't want to see it, hear it, take it. Shanna answered my question. This is better for everyone. Not for Morgan. She won't want this. You don't know that. Everyone wants to be famous. Not her, not Morgan. I shook my head. That's her worst nightmare. A step creaked behind me, and I whirled. Matthew Kellerman was on the stairs, his father behind him. Matthew paused on the last step before stepping all the way down. You did this? His eyes widened. It took 1 second, one single breath, for me to be across the room and have him up against the wall. I had him pinned, and he didn't fight me. You sold her out? You're her stepbrother. You're supposed to protect her. You said you would protect her. Yo, this is Kyle. Do your thing. I slammed him against the wall again. You're supposed to be there for her. You aren't supposed to sell her out. Kyle, fucking call me. Where the hell? I saw the guilt in his eyes. He'd done what I said. He wasn't even trying to hide it. You're supposed to love her. How is this loving her? But the fight was leaving me. Kyle, where are you? He wasn't struggling. I was just beating him up, that was all. Listen, Brody, I'm damn proud of you. I swallowed hard. My throat was burning. I felt gentle hands on top of mine and someone was saying, Let him go, Brody, let him go. I let him slide back down until his feet touched the ground, but I didn't let him go. My hands were still curled around his shirt as I leaned closer to him, spitting the words into his traitorous face. How could you tell Shanna about Morgan? Brody, stop, please. Kara was trying to pull my hands away from Kellerman. I can't wait to get there. And I blinked. How had my hands gotten around his throat? Disgust rose up, but I didn't know who it was for, him or myself. I lowered him back to the floor. When had I done this?
Kyle,
I whispered, finally releasing Kellerman. Kyle! 911, what is your emergency?
Brody!
Someone slapped me across the face. I came back to reality. Kara was winding up to slap me again. I gently caught her hand and moved out of the way. Don't hit me. It was a hoarse whisper, nothing more.
You spaced out.
She let out a huff, gesturing to Matthew, who was holding his throat and gasping for air.
You assaulted your boss. You're wacko in the head, you know that?
Matthew kept rubbing his neck, but he gasped out,
No, no, it's okay. I asked for it.
He was watching me, and I saw the fear there. I rolled my eyes. He didn't want me to tell anyone about the security footage. I turned around, knowing Morgan's father would be there. He was watching me. His face was impassive. He was tan, abnormally so, but everything but the lines of age were the same as what I noted before. He stood like he could handle himself well in a fight. He wouldn't back down like the weasel shit behind me. Then he spoke.
You're in love with my daughter?
I looked beyond him, out to the patio and even farther. I saw Morgan there. She had returned to the fields and was standing on top of Shiloh, but she was watching me. I knew she was. I could feel her gaze. I said,
No, sir. I'm in love with your stepdaughter.
Brody, Shanna had come into the hallway where we were standing. My eyes fell to her hand. She was still holding that damned script. They gave me the okay, not that I needed it. There's no fighting this. It is going to happen. Your girlfriend is going to be written into the movie. It might be in her and your best interests if I get the true story. She paused, biting her lip. I'll need to talk to her to get that. I laughed in disbelief. This was why they were all okay with me putting my hands on Matthew Kellerman. They weren't even balking at that. They wanted my help with Morgan. I shook my head. You gotta be kidding me. Brody, I held out my hand. Not another goddamn step, Shanna. I was watching out that patio. She was still there, still standing on top of Shiloh, and still watching me. No, she was waiting for me. We can talk later, Brody. How about that? I tuned her out. I was at a loss as to how to handle the amount of betrayal that happened in this room. I lifted my gaze to Peter Kellerman. You just did a very stupid and careless thing. Laughter filled the house, coming in from outside. It died sharply a second later, and I heard Abby ask, What's going on? I didn't take my eyes away from the senior Kellerman. You left her when she was a child. You paid for strangers to raise her and then pulled them when she was 18. You think audiences are going to care that you financially took care of her, created a bank account for her with her inheritance, but your son had to show her how to get the money? I felt the air in the room shift. People were waking up and realizing there was maybe a whole other story to be told than what they originally thought. I don't know about your love story with Morgan's mother. I heard it was a good one. You must have really loved her. But you're going to sell out Morgan for what? You're going to become the villain of the story, not the guy who murdered Karen. If the truth is going to come out, they're going to know how you abandoned your children once Karen Kellerman was in the ground.
Brody,
someone gasped. I didn't know who. I didn't care. A storm was raging within Peter Kellerman, and his impassive guard slipped. He took a step toward me, trying to loom over me. He didn't. We were the exact same height. He jerked his hands up. I didn't flinch. I wanted him to hit me. I could hit back. But it was just an intimidation trick. He wanted me to cower in front of all these people. I grinned and lifted an eyebrow mockingly. My father used to do the same thing. It stopped working long ago. A vein popped out from the side of his neck. He ground out, Get the fuck off my lands, boy. I didn't move. This is Morgan's land, Morgan's house. I goddamn know whose land this is. He almost spit on me. I want you out of this house, or I won't give a shit about lawyers and courts. I will pound your face into the ground. You hear me? I held my hands up. I got what I wanted. The monster. Everyone goddamn knew who it was now. No one said a word as I walked out of that house.
Chapter 36. Morgan. Brody was hurting. I hopped off Shiloh and scrambled over the patio as he walked up the front steps. What happened? I knew what was said in the house. I heard it. I wasn't asking about that. He shook his head, going to the bedroom and lying on the bed. I stood in the doorway, staring down at him. Brody. I felt his pain. It sliced through me along with a lot of anger. A ton of anger. Brody, what happened? He let out a sigh, gazing at the ceiling.
They approved the new storyline. Peter and Matthew. Both of them. You're being written into the movie.
I sat next to him on the bed and touched his leg. What else is going on?
What?
He still wouldn't look at me, so I scraped my nails lightly down his leg. It got his attention. What aren't you telling me?
Aren't you pissed at them?
There. I looked at him closely. I saw the shadows in his eyes. There was anger for me, pain for me, but that wasn't what was wrong. I climbed up over him on the bed. He leaned back, frowning as he watched me move to straddle him. Slowly, I was stretched on top of him, chest to chest, groin to groin. I let my feet fall between his legs and I propped my head up, resting on my hands. I peered right down to him. What's going on with you? He groaned, closing his eyes.
I just went to bat for you, and you're in here trying to slide into my thoughts.
I didn't hide my grin. I let it fully show. Despite his arguing, he was enjoying this as much as I was. I caught his hand in mine, lifting my head. I like that you fought for me. I like that you hurt for me. I caressed my finger up the middle of his palm. His hand jerked, but I felt some of his tension starting to wane. But I can tell there's other stuff. I stretched over him, sensually moving my body until I had scooted farther up. I tapped him softly on the side of the head. What is going on in there that has to do with you? He looked the other way.
You sound like a goddamn counselor.
I took his chin and turned him back to me. They sent me to a bunch of them. I'm glad something stuck.
Did you feel your privacy was intruded on, too?
I grinned again. You're like a wounded lion that is trying to be all growly at your own cub. That got a small laugh and his hands went to my waist. A tingle shot through me at the touch.
You are not a cub. That's for damn sure.
His thumb began to rub back and forth and he trailed his other hand up and down my side, pushing underneath my shirt.
Your family stuff is bringing up my family shit. It gives me whiplash sometimes.
Kyle is haunting you?
No.
His hand kept moving and the tingles were making me warm all over.
Yes.
He let out another soft sigh as he stopped and then just hugged me to him. I rested my head on his chest and his hand moved to smooth down my hair. It was another caress, but one from comfort, one that was soothing. I closed my eyes, savoring the feeling. He was lulling me, drawing me to him just from that touch. Every time he held me, it made me never want to leave. Still smoothing down my hair, he said.
He's not haunting me. But the grief comes at me.
I frowned slightly, feeling his heartbeat speed up. Then it went back down, he murmured.
He called me before he died.
He stopped. His chest rose and he held the deep breath. I did the same, waiting. His chest lowered once more.
I keep hearing it over and over. I keep reliving it.
He stopped smoothing down my hair and I lifted my head. I needed to see his eyes. I needed to see into him. Raw torment looked back at me. I didn't even see Brody. The anguish coated all of him and my own emotions swelled to mirror his. Needing to distract myself from the pain that was too overwhelming, I chewed on the inside of my cheek. The physical pain cleared enough of the emotional pain that I could hear him again.
Sometimes. I can't help but wonder if he killed himself.
His eyes focused.